Well, first of all, I want to thank Pastor Bill Carlson for his willingness to allow me to preach this weekend. We kind of have kid about this, as Bill is our pastor of national holidays, which is an absolutely wonderful thing because it allows Pastor Cindy and Pastor Alan and myself to use this holiday time to travel and to be with family. And Bill, we just are so thankful for your ministry with us, and thank you for yielding today. And next week, I'm not going to be here because I will be officiating at my nephew's wedding. It is the first of the summer side of the family that's going to be married, and I'll be officiating at John and Lucy's wedding in the same church where Kathleen and I were married. And we're really looking forward to being with family next weekend. But I also wanted to speak this weekend because, as many of you may know, at the beginning of this month, Kath and I traveled to Portugal, Spain, France, and the UK to celebrate our 20th anniversary. And during that trip, we were able to spend quite a bit of time on the beaches of Normandy, and we were incredibly blessed to have David Eisenhower, the grandson of Ike, serving as our guide. So for me, this Memorial Day weekend is especially meaningful after visiting the beaches of Normandy and spending time at the National Cemetery at Normandy. Now, the theme for today is God and Country, and it deals with the complicated relationship that exists between our religious faith and our allegiance to the nation in which we live. And as we explore that theme, I want us to look at a portion of Scripture from the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 15 through 23. And while I know the translation in your bulletin is from the New International Version, I'm going to be reading today from the New Living Translation. And in that, we read this. Then the Pharisees met together to plot how to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. They sent some of their disciples along with the supporters of Herod to meet with him. "Teacher," they said, "we know how honest you are. You teach the way of God truthfully. You are impartial, and you don't play favorites. Now, tell us what you think about this. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus knew their evil motives. "You hypocrites," he said, "why are you trying to trap me? Here, show me the coin that you use for the tax." When they handed him a Roman coin, a denarius, he asked, "Whose picture and title are stamped on it?" "Caesar," they replied. "Well then," he said, "give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God." His reply amazed them, and they went away. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. And now, Lord, I pray that you would guide the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, without a doubt, one of my favorite theologians is a man by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a German pastor, theologian, spy, anti-Nazi dissident, and the key founding member of the Confessing Church. The Confessing Church was a movement within German Protestantism that rose in opposition to the government-sponsored efforts to unify all Protestant churches into a single pro-Nazi Protestant Reich church. Bonhoeffer's writings often dwelt with Christianity's role in the secular world, especially his book entitled The Cost of Discipleship, which is an amazing classic when it comes to the intersection of religious faith and human government. Apart from his theological writings, Bonhoeffer was known for his staunch resistance to the Nazi dictatorship, including vocal opposition to Hitler's euthanasia program and genocidal persecution of the Jews. He was arrested in April 1943 by the Gestapo and imprisoned at Tegel prison for 1.5 years. Later, he was transferred to a Nazi concentration camp. And after being accused of being associated with a plot to assassinate Adolf Hitler, he was quickly tried among other accused plotters, including former members of the German military intelligence office. And then he was executed by hanging on April 9th, 1945, as the Nazi regime was collapsing. Bonhoeffer's faith in Christ and in the writings of Scripture compelled him to speak truth to power. Bonhoeffer's faith in Christ and in the writings of Scripture compelled him to speak against the evil atrocities of Nazi Germany, and in the end, it cost him his life. One of my favorite quotes from Bonhoeffer is this: "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." For the past year, knowing that we were going to travel to Normandy, I've done a lot of reading about World War II. My father served in World War II, spending almost 4 years stationed in Bath, England. And during this past year, I read or have come close to completing the 900-page book that David Eisenhower wrote on his grandfather Eisenhower in the war years. Like many of you, I've watched the movie Dunkirk and The Darkest Hour, which Eisenhower and all the scholars that were part of our trip called exceptionally accurate. I also spent time reading about how Nazi Germany attempted to make religion the property of the government with the introduction of the Reich Church. In other words, by disrupting and disbanding and demoralizing and marginalizing both the Catholic and Protestant churches and persecuting their leaders, Nazi Germany was at work creating a church that reflected the views of Hitler rather than the teachings of Jesus. Now, I know there are folks out there and probably in this room who have a problem understanding the dangers of wrapping God and country together in the same cloth, that we should somehow worship both and not question either. And there are some who have problems understanding the absolute importance of separation of church and state. But on this weekend, when we remember the price that was paid to guarantee these freedoms, I think it is so important that we understand and hold firmly to the First Amendment to our Constitution. In our thought for today, we have two quotes. First, from James Madison, where we read, "The purpose of separation of church and state is to keep forever from these shores the ceaseless strife that has soaked the soil of Europe with blood for centuries." And we read from Pastor Rick Warren, where he writes, "I believe in the separation of church and state, but I do not believe in the separation of politics from religion." I believe both statements are true. We believe in religious liberty and the sacredness of our freedom to believe or not to believe according to our conscience. We also believe that our values as people of faith should guide our political decisions and that we should speak up. Last week, as we held confirmation, we talked about the need to wrestle with God and so that God can stretch us and help us to grow in our understanding that, and we talked about how faith cannot be dictated by any human entity, that faith is ultimately between an individual and God, and our faith challenges us and changes us to learn and grow in spiritual maturity. And in the same way, I believe that patriotism is not blind. It requires us to hold our leaders accountable and to assure that they're leading according to the will of the people, and not by deception, and not bought and paid for by greed, and not by the personal interests of a few. While we worship a God who is all-knowing and all-powerful and ever-present, we should never worship any government. For government is a creation of humankind and therefore imperfect. Earlier this year, Kathleen and I went to see the movie The Post. If any of you have seen the movie, it's an exceptional movie. I encourage you to see it if you haven't. It's Meryl Streep plays the role of Katharine Graham, who was the first female publisher of a major American newspaper, The Washington Post. And the movie is about the bold move that her paper made to publish the Pentagon Papers. I still remember this going on when I was in high school. Using classified documents regarding the 30-year involvement of the United States government in the Vietnam War. The story starts in 1966 as a State Department military analyst, Daniel Ellsberg, accompanies U.S. troops in combat, documenting the progress of the U.S. military activities in the region for Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara. Well, on their flight home, McNamara expressed to Ellsberg his view that the war in Vietnam was unwinnable. Yet upon landing, he tells the press that he has ever confidence that we're winning the war. Upon hearing this, Ellsberg becomes disillusioned. It was that event that motivated him to leak the classified information to the press and to expose the truth about the Vietnam War. Now I want to ask you a challenging question. Who do you think was more moral in this circumstance? Daniel Ellsberg and the Washington Post for exposing the truth? Or Johnson, McNamara, and Nixon, who knew the truth but kept sending men and women to die for the mistakes of our leaders? My brother fought in Vietnam. He was shot down in Cambodia, even though we said we weren't in Cambodia. And if it weren't for a few brave men who flew in on a rescue chopper to rescue him, he would have been captured, surely tortured, if not killed. And I ask, for what? To save face of political leaders who are lying to the American people? To help the stock prices rise for companies that supplied the military? And as I walk the beaches of Normandy, standing next to the grandson of the Supreme Allied Commander, shoulder to shoulder, knowing that his grandfather and my father had served together in the same theater, I was overcome with emotion. I thought about the soldiers who stormed that beach, and the many who paid for our freedom from tyranny of Hitler as they willingly laid down their lives. And one can only wonder how different our world would be without their sacrifice. We owe such a great debt of honor to the men and women who serve in our military, to the men and women who served in World War II, in Korea, in Vietnam, and during peace times, and now in the hot spots around the world. And at the very same time, we have a sacred obligation to ensure that our leaders do not send our armed forces into harm's way unless it is absolutely necessary for the purpose of national defense, and not to appease political egos or add value to the military-industrial complex. I grow increasingly concerned with people who seem to ignore the importance of the separation of church and state. Religious freedom is the very reason people fled Europe and the state church that dictated what and how they should believe and came to these shores in order to worship according to their conscience. We should defend that with our lives. In our scripture reading for today, it starts out with the religious leadership of those days trying to trap Jesus. At issue was the very unpopular poll tax that demonstrated Rome's rule over the people of Israel. It was a constant reminder of whose thumb they were under. So the religious bureaucrats of those days sent spies to observe Jesus. And they were looking for anything that would allow them to hand Jesus to the governor on a political charge of treason, which would bring with it the death penalty. So they come up with this trick question. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? If Jesus supports Rome, his allegiance to Israel will be questioned, and rightly so. If he sides with Israel, he'll be handed over for treason. Can't you just see it? Jesus is standing there between a rock and a hard place. And then he asked one of them, "Show me the coin used for the tax." When they handed him a Roman coin, a denarius, he asked, "Whose picture and image and title are stamped on it?" "Caesar's," they replied. "Well then," he said, "give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God." Poof! There went their argument. They're just amazed. When it comes to God and country, we recognize that there are issues for the state and there are issues that belong to God. That we render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but we render unto God what is God's. But on this Memorial Day weekend, where we honor those who have served and died protecting this sacred freedom, we need to be vigilant in protecting it. As followers of Christ, we know that our faith in God, that our faith that rules our hearts, comes before any nation or government. At the same time, we honor and serve our country as imperfect as it can be, and we seek to influence its direction as we are guided by our faith. It was the faith of Dietrich Bonhoeffer that caused him to resist Hitler and Nazi Germany and the gassing of Jews. Yet many believers said nothing. They stood by and watched. Or worse yet, they supported Hitler rather than standing up for what they clearly knew was opposite of what Christ taught and lived. While we render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, our role as Christians should never be silenced when it comes to speaking truth to power and being a voice for justice when our leaders go off the rails. So on this day, we give thanks for our country and the men and women who have died defending and protecting us. We give thanks to all who have served and are serving. We pray for their safety and for the safety of their family. And we pray for the leadership of this nation. And as people of faith, we dare to speak up and to call out and to hold accountable our leaders so that they might lead our nation with integrity and genuine respect for the ideals on which our nation was founded. Let us pray. Lord God, on this Memorial Day weekend, we remember and honor those who have died for our country. We honor and give thanks for those who have served and are now serving. Help us as people of faith to recognize the difference between our devotion to you and our love of country. Guide us to be a voice that dares to speak truth to power and calls forth the best of what our founding fathers envisioned. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.